Disciple appears 269 times in the New Testament. The word Christian appears 3 times, and the word believer appears 2 times. So it's very important. The New Testament church in the book of Acts, as we read the book of Acts, it's repleted with the word disciple instead of Christian and believer. So it's very important to understand the word disciple. The word disciple is one who is taught, instructed, and one who is instructed not only through a series of teaching, but through the spirit of impartation. In other words, we have to learn to do. And today we have an example. The example is none else but Jesus Christ. We emulate Jesus, we imitate Jesus Christ, and he is the example. We have to come up to the standard called Jesus. That's the reason why God sent him, Jesus, into the earth, so that he will be the legitimate, he'll be the example, he'll be the model, the tupos. The Greek word is tupos. He'll be the example for us to follow. So God doesn't just leaves us in alert or keeps us in the dark. He gives us examples, and when we follow examples, we come to the reality. Jesus is not fabricated. Jesus is reality. Amen. And when he's real, we follow him. And this morning, I want to draw your attention to the fact that we all have to gravitate towards Jesus Christ. We all have to now imitate Jesus Christ. He's the example. Remember, he was the Son of Man before the Son of God. The Word became Son of Man. Hello? So the Word became Son of Man. He was Son of Man. Came through the womb of a woman, young lady called Mary. Was a Son of Man. And of course, he came to show us the Father. People asked him, show us the Father. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. Today people are saying, show us Jesus. And we can say today, if you see me, you can see Jesus. You get to know Jesus. That's the standard that we have. I will tell you something today, even as we had the encouragement from the invocation and from the taking up the offering. If Jesus was here, he would be tithing and offering and giving off his offerings. He was so sincere about that he stood right close to the offering basket. And you see the hearts more than the money. Hello? So when we think about money, we don't talk money. We see the position and the posture of one's heart. Is your heart committed to God? If you had 5 minutes more and God says, give away everything, would you able to give away? And we already covered that the other marks of discipleship, number one, a supreme love for God. Number two, a supreme love for the brethren. Number three, you have to come to a place of separating yourself from family. In other words, you must appraise God higher than your family. Number four, you have to now separate yourself from yourself. In other words, others are before you. God is before you. And you place yourself at the last part of the last rung of the ladder. And when you know how to be abased, God will exalt you. You don't look to promote yourself. God promotes you. Amen. God favors you. The Bible says that if you know how to seek the kingdom of God first, his righteousness, things will follow you. It'll look for you. Money will look for your wallet. Money will look for your... And try, as CJ said, it'll come after you. And we are experiencing that every day of our lives, where things come to us and we don't chase things. Amen? And sometimes you have to learn how to build capacity for God to come your way and fill that capacity. If you're clogged, if there's clogging in your life by so many different distractions, there's no place to build capacity. To build capacity, you've got to come to a place called nothing. Emptying yourself of your personal agenda, of the things you want, of all the distractions that retards your movement into and propels you into where God wants you. Those retardations now are very costly. Yes. It'll prolong, it'll postpone your journey into your destiny. And therefore, you have to learn how to build capacity so that God can start to fill you. Amen. Amen. And so many of the references this morning I'm going to allude to the fact that it's all about Jesus. The mere fact that you are seated here is about Jesus. that Jesus is your resurrection life. Jesus is the power in your life. Jesus is who is making you tick day by day. Amen. Amen. We turn to Jesus also was very into discipling people more than concerned about saving the multitudes. He ministered to the multitudes. You see, the multitudes wanted Jesus, but they did not want the Lord Jesus. They wanted the Savior Jesus, because the Savior will touch their children. The Savior will give their bread. The Savior will bless them. The Savior will heal them. But when you are Lord, you have to learn how to give your offerings, tithes, and everything belongs to Him. 100% belongs to you. Belongs to Him. That's when you make Him L-O-R-D. Not just Savior, but Lord. Amen. And today, I'm encouraging all of you in this church, as time is running out, and we at 5 to 12 to the coming of Jesus Christ. Get everything right, brethren. Don't let anything stop you. Don't hold on to your money. Don't hold on to your house. Don't hold on to your car. Don't hold on to things that will rob you of an entrance into a better life. Listen, 70 years on the earth is just a drop in the ocean to what you're going to spend outside this earth. Don't make this earth, we are pilgrims here. We are passing by. We have a few years to spend here. Our home, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
We are foreigners in this earth. We've come to create a ministry impression so that this earth could be redeemed and given back to Jesus Christ, who is going to rule. Every kingdom on this earth is going to bow down to Jesus Christ. And you know what? We are part of that kingdom. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. Don't lose it. And why are we saying this? Because so many factors are going to contribute towards you losing out because of foolishness, slow of heart. Jesus used these words, slow of heart and foolishness. And sometimes foolishness plagues us, and it is sometimes the biggest sickness, bigger than the physical ailments that we may have. God deliver us this morning so that we can see clearly and know that Jesus is more wonderful than what you think He is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So say this after me. Disciple making is not an optional affair.
Is not an optional affair.
Disciple making is not an optional affair. It is mandatory. It is what God ordered us. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, again, our key verse of scripture, because Jesus' last command must be our first concern. You can't ignore His concern. Yeah, His command, His last command. What's the word command? It's an order. It's something that we have to fulfill. It's not like I have this option of doing it or not. When a commandment comes from God to one who He owns, remember you gave your heart to the Lord. Remember, you're not your own. If you're still your own, you're still part of the devil's kingdom. You're not your own. So you have to fulfill all His commandments. You cannot be selective. All commandments or no commandments. Okay? So God wants us. And it is my duty. I'm sent by God this morning to encourage you to fulfill the commandments of God. Here's another commandment in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. He says, Jesus, and this is the last words before He ascends. And He says as follows, go therefore. The word therefore tells us that we have to take note of what's the verse before. The verse before that, in verse 18, He says, all power and all authority is given to Me. So if it's given to Him and He begins to speak,
just leave 28 on it.
It means that you can, He is giving you carte blanche, or He's giving you the power of attorney to act and to go, because He's backing you up.
Yeah.
I say he's backing you up.
Amen.
When you stand before someone to speak to them about the goodness of Jesus, man, he is backing you up.
Amen.
When you talk to your relative that Jesus is good, he's backing you up.
Amen.
This morning, as CJ was speaking, the Holy Spirit was backing her up. Because
Amen.
She was testifying of the goodness of Jesus and how he can spoil the plan of man. He can zoom in into your word and he can change it upside down.
Amen.
Salvation only comes by Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's not your works and what I do. No, it's what he's done
Amen.
To bring us there. Amen.
Excellent.
So stop stressing how I'm going to do this. You don't do anything. You just hand over.
Yes. Amen.
Make him Lord. Yes. And when he becomes Lord, he takes over. I pray to God today that every home represented here this morning in this corporate gathering will come to this point and say, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. It's not about what I want, but what you want from me. It's not what I can get, but what I can give, Lord. I can give my time. I can give my education. I can give you all. It's about what you give to the Lord this morning that counts. Let me tell you something. I said this last week. Your salary is your seed. If you're a son of God that is faithful, no boss can afford you.
Mm.
You are a masterpiece. And a masterpiece, no earthly boss can afford to pay you what you deserve.
Yeah.
What he can give you is just your seed. And when you place that little in the hands of the master, it becomes much.
Amen.
Ask a little boy and a lad that didn't sleep 2 days. The mother packed his lunch and he handed that over to Jesus. When he learned how to hand over to Jesus by listening attentively to the master speak on the fells and the villages, he heard this boy, he followed Jesus. He handed his little over to God. And when he handed it over, it became much. It became a meal for 5,000 people
Amen.
With 12 baskets left over.
Amen.
Why? When you give your little to the hands of Jesus, your little becomes much.
Amen.
This
Hallelujah.
Is Jesus I'm speaking this morning. About.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says to us, trust him today. He says, go. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the place that you want to rest. You have 168 hours in a week. Give at least 1/10 of that to do my business. And you see how I will come through for you. Says the Lord this morning. I speak under the anointing this morning.
Hallelujah.
I feel
yes.
something rumbling inside
Amen.
Of me.
Amen. Excellent.
Go, therefore, because I've given you the power of attorney. And the last part of this verse says, I'm standing right there before with you. And lo, in verse 20, lo, I am with you always.
Amen.
So when you enter a realm where your friends are laughing and partying and you come there and you start telling them about the goodness of Jesus, Jesus says, lo, I am with you there.
Amen.
When you're scared to speak to your family about Jesus because of victimization or being ostracized, Jesus says, don't worry, lo, I am with you.
Hallelujah.
There.
Yes.
I like to use the word G-O as an acronym. Get out. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the place that you want to use for yourself. Give him some of that time. Time is running out. It's 5 to 12. Anytime now the clarion call will be heard. Are you going to make it? Are you ready to meet Jesus? This is the call that we have to take seriously in our lives. Time is ticking by. I wish... You know, when I look back in my life, I'm now 60, and I look back from the age 20 to 60, I see 40 years lapsed in between. I often think I could have done more, but it's too late for that. But what I can do is look forward and do double amount in the time God's going to give me upon the face of it. How about you? Don't go to your grave loaded with your destiny. You know, if I had a box here right now, you know, brings a gift to you, and the gift is given to you, and you say, thank you so much. But you take the gift and leave it somewhere, and you don't open the wrapping. You know, you didn't really say thank you. The thank you would entail you opening the box, opening the wrapping, looking inside, and appreciating the person who brought that gift to you. Many of us have our callings, our purpose still in our gift wrap. We haven't opened it as yet. We do absolutely nothing in the business of God. And we want to say we are disciples. A disciple will be restless to do something for God. Many Christians today, and God is exposing even the large churches today around the world, because all they do is they do a maintenance service for people coming into a building, never teaching them how to become disciples. And I pray to God today that this church will become a disciple-making church.
Amen.
A church that will mature the believers. There's going to be a lineup in heaven for all the servants of God, including myself. And I often lament at the fact that we are not doing more than what we can possibly do now. Yes, I know Val and I are drained out. There's so much we are doing. We hardly sleep. We sleep sometimes three, four hours in a night. But you know what? There is still so much more we can do. Before the coming of the Lord. Before the coming of the Lord. So Jesus says, his last command must be our first concern. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He's not going to do the discipling. He's not going to make disciples. You and I have to do that. Is there a program? Have you set up a place in your home? Have you got a program? And we have put that into your hands. Do you take every sermon that we preach on this, that comes from the heart of God, that you go home, that you dissect it, write out your teaching? Do you send it out to at least 5 people? Do you tell people that there is life in the Word of God? We've just received a sermon with life. Yeah, I'm disseminating this to 5 of you. I'm disseminating. Catch the principle. It'll help you to grow. Are we doing that from the comfort of our home? Some of us have very expensive cell phones, and we use it for every other thing but except the kingdom of God and the business of God. You got to face God on it. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to forward a message to someone else. It's one button. And yet it is so difficult for us. I'm not talking about you doing that. I'm talking about all the other churches around the world. Okay, how much more? Now look at this. Discipleship. The Bible says in the New Testament, there's an illustration there on addition and multiplication. The Bible says Jesus added daily to the church. Okay? So converts are added to the church, but disciples are multiplied. And if we added one convert every single day for 365 days, this is what you would have as a graph on the screen. We're going to put it up so that you see. See, if I every year brought one person, in year one I would bring 366 people. You'll all clap hands, big church. First. But if we multiplied in year one, and if we disciple people in year one, your church will just be how many people? 2, isn't it? 2. So at the end of 2, you'll shut down the church and you say, this is an unsuccessful church. Let me go to Hillsong. Are they in town? Because addition takes place where people flock in. And it's a marketing tool to do that, or any other church in our vicinity, because we want to look at
the bigness of the church, not the process. We want the product, but not the process. Humanize, we want the product. But we're not prepared to engage the process. God today speak to us, Lord. So at the end of year one, you say, wow, through addition, 365. So you go to all over town, you look for bricks, you bring bricks from other people's work to build your church. Because you know, that's exciting. But discipleship is a process. Thank you, Joe. But let's go on. Let's take year 10. If you're adding every year one person, but year 10 through addition, what you have? 3,500. Well, addition is still better than multiplication, isn't it? Doing crusades and just bringing people, it's good. But as we said, one loves the classroom while others love the playground. Discipleship has to do with the classroom of the Spirit. Now let's go to year 15. In this church, we're going 15. What happens to addition? Through the process of addition, how much? How many? 5,376. Through the process of discipling, after 15 years, how many you would have? 32,768, which is a higher number. Discipling, through discipling. It may start off hard, tedious, laborious work, but then the results come in a little later when you know how to disciple each other, things will happen. Now there's another graph that I would like to show you. How in 34 years, 8 billion people can be saved through discipleship. You see, so my job is that I must disciple Mama Val for a whole year. At the end of year one, we have a nice graduation service, two of us. But the process has started. The process of 8 billion people. Both of us now are disciplers at the year one. That's the graduation we have. Our gown is on. But we start the next year, each looking for our own person to disciple. So I will look for Eric, Mama Val will look for Mary. Whole year, she disciples her. Whole year, I disciple this young man. At the end of year two, we have a graduation service. Now, 4 people are getting graduated. Can you understand? But they are not members of church. They're not weaklings. We're all strong. We're all powerful. We're all focused. We all know what we have to do. And then each one of us, 4 now, will each look for a disciple. Eric will look for his own. Mary will look for her own. She's excited. He's excited. I'm excited. Very excited. We can't rest because we want to get into the classroom of the Spirit. And this is how it works. Year one. I work with Mama Val. Year two. We two, Mama Val and I, work with another 2. And of course, we get this thing going. By year 10, we have 512 not members of a church, but disciples who emulate Jesus, who love Jesus. And if I have to do it all over again, I will follow this. And if you here right now, in year 2022, say, I want to be a discipler. I put my hand up to work with you, Pastor. I want to disciple someone. Put that manual in my hand. I will spend 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 hours a week. And if you multiply out of 168 hours in a week, it's still little. Hello? But something's pouring into your life. The favor is pouring. God takes recognition of who you are. He sees that you're not too concerned about your own program, your own children, your own family. You are prepared to give him 3 hours a week to disciple someone. Where? In the luxury of being in your own lounge. So Eric comes to my lounge. I sit at the dining room table. I open the word. I share with him. He now draws. He sees the heart of God. He questions. We interact. And he grows. Are you with me? So Jesus said, go into all the world and make
disciples.
Disciples. Not converts.
not members of church, disciples. A disciple will look like his teacher. And Jesus is here backing up. Ivan, you're representing me. Val, you're representing me. And you can see by year 33, I think the next year is missing, 34. But year 33, there are 4.2 billion. So 34 will be 8.4 billion, which is the whole population of the world. Come on. Go into where? All the world, and make of all nations disciples. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a clap offering. He knew what he was speaking when he trained 12 of them. He knew 12 will impact 8 billion. Hallelujah. So he wasn't, and many times he separated from the crowd because he wasn't into crowds. He was into the crowds as Jesus. But when he was Lord, he concentrated on the 12. He went up the mountain. He went into rooms. He hired venues just to work with 12 people in his church for 3.5 years. Hello? 3.5 years with 12 people transformed, turned the world upside down. How about you? You don't have to be affluent, have a five-star home. All you have to have is a warm lounge. All you have to have is a cup of tea for the one you're discipling. Plant that into the... Give your space, some of your specs to Jesus. Is there room in your heart for him today? Is there room in the inn for him today? I ask you the question, is there room in your heart for him today? Are you concerned a little about his business? You know what the danger is and what the diagnosis of us is? When we leave this room, we blank out. We go back to our usual. Because somebody is waiting there at the door to grab your attention again and make you worry about all the chores and the duties. Hello? I'm praying to God that some of us will be changed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is calling us to touch. I just want to speak on three of those. I've got 10 minutes. Let me go quickly on this. Today, let's cover continuing in the Word of God. Another mark is continuing. Say this, supreme love for God.
Supreme love for God.
Supreme love for my brethren.
Supreme love for my brethren.
Separation from family.
Separation from family.
Separation from self.
Bearing the cross.
Renouncing all. Are you acquainted with all these facts?
Yeah.
Are you? Get the messages, get the notes. And if you need more notes, let me know. But you need to learn how to do this because your discipleship has to be soundproof. You've got to get it in order before Jesus comes. Hallelujah. It's not about how long you're in a church, how long you know him. It's what you do for him.
Yeah.
You have to learn and do.
Yeah.
Understand and do. Yeah, and do. The doing justifies your movement into the next level of whatever you want. You know, you can hear and forget. But if you do, it backs up, confirms that you heard right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the word, continuing of the word of God. Turn to John 8:31 with me. John 8:31. John 8:31. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was discipling, he gave some very, very hard teachings, extremely hard teachings. Many of the disciples that were following him, thousands of them were following him. Are you with me? Many of them left. They couldn't understand his teachings. Like some of us that are here, we are just lost. We are outside the room. Get into the room of the Spirit. We're camping at the door. Get into the room of the Spirit. You're not going to get the keys outside. You got to get the keys inside the room. Get into the room of the Spirit.
Amen.
The courtroom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, listen to it, read with me. If you abide
in
my word, you are my disciples
Indeed.
In other words, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now look at this now. The word continue, the word indeed, has to do with the word continue. If you continue in my word, it means that if you continue means that you've started. So many of us start. It's not how you start, it's how you finish off. Because the Bible says, he that endures to the end will be saved.
Yeah.
Not he who starts the race will be saved. He who endures to the end will be saved. You can't just start off the journey, once saved and always saved. That is a false doctrine. You have to develop along the way.
Consistent.
You have to continue in truth. You have to continue in the word. If you continue in the word, then only you are my disciples. Okay? So, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the truth is Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14 and 17, that he came full of grace, full of truth. Which means if he's full of truth, he's nothing but truth. If he came full of grace, he's nothing but grace. So grace would be a person, and truth would be a person. Hallelujah. The kingdom is a person. Because when John the Baptist was seeing Jesus coming, he said, look, here's a kingdom coming. So you got to believe today that truth is Jesus. And we're presenting Jesus to you as the truth. Because there's lots of deception that will come through in the last days. Now, I want to just say this to you. You've got to start loving the word. You've got to start studying the word. You've got to start memorizing the word. And above all, you have to start obeying the word.
Yes. Amen.
You've got to start. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 10 to 12, many will be offended in the last days. Talking to Christians, talking to believers, talking to those that are inside the room. He says in Matthew 24, and I'm paraphrasing, many will be offended. There will be betrayal of one another in the church. There will be hatred of one another that will increase. There will be lawlessness that will abound in the church. And many, not some, say many. That's what the scripture says. Is this there many? Oh, yes. The love of many will
grow cold.
Right here now. There could be some freezes here. And I pray that you'll be changed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're cold. You're indifferent. You're not paying attention. There's no life coming to you. If there's no word, there's no life.
Amen.
You're just existing. God help you to change today. God help you to change. See, listen, beloved. Many of us will have eternal life. Eternal life is in the future. Do you know what's eternal life? John 17:3 says, when you know the Father and the Son, you enjoy eternal life. Eternal life will take you beyond the grave to a place. We're not talking about eternal life. That is secured. Many of us here are clean, we're going. But we are robbing ourselves of abundant life. John 10:10 says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and more life. That's abundant life. Many of us are scraping the barrel. We're not enjoying abundant life.
Yes.
You know what's abundant? More than standardized.
Yes.
Overflowing. Overflowing. And we are just scraping the barrel. Just making it through. Now God doesn't want that from us. When you continue in the word, you will have favor following you.
Yes.
I put it to the test. Won't you just start uncluttering your life, making way for love for the word of God again. And let's test the word of God. The COVID viruses cause us to forget to continue in the word of God. So Jesus saying, if you want to be my disciple, because I'm interested in disciples, you continue in the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Because why do you have to be attached to truth? Many, many believers today, they know about truth, but they have not met truth. But Jesus said, you must know truth. Those that know truth will be set free. Know truth means you got to have a relationship with truth.
Very good.
Which means that truth has to come into you. And what is truth? Truth has to do with, well, it's verifiable. Anything that's verifiable is truth. Anything that is indisputable is truth. Transparency is truth. And conformity to reality is truth. Hallelujah. I want to say, I think we have to just take a moment and look at this. I had yesterday I had a phone call. And look at, I had a phone call from a lady. She says, how are you? I've picked up your number from the directory. We go around the streets and I knew it was a Jehovah's Witness lady. Very pleasant voice. A religious, if I was religious, I would say, don't trouble me. I know my Jesus. Go and trouble someone else. But I was very calm. I was representing Jesus even to a Jehovah's Witness. When she picked up the phone, I greeted her very politely. And then she said to me, you know, we go from house to house talking about Jesus, talking about the kingdom. However, because of COVID, we are picking up numbers from the directory and all of us have to phone numbers and talk about the kingdom.
Yeah.
How many of us can say we safely do that?
Yeah.
To talk about Jesus. Jesus to us is the kingdom. As John rightfully pointed out, the kingdom is at hand when he saw it. And so she said to me, I want to present hope to you. I said, ma'am, thank you so much. Mama Val was in Richards Bay yesterday. So I was alone in the Word the entire day. Now as I was grasping some of the stuff, this call came through. And I said to her, ma'am, you know I'm a preacher. Thank you for this word that you bring into me, word of hope. People need the word of hope. And you know something? I was challenged by the Jehovah's Witness. We've got to love them for what they do. If we as true sons of God cannot do the work, why do we stop them to at least talk to the unsaved about hope? We don't want to do the work, but yet we want to condemn for them for doing it. Jesus said, I'll even raise the stones to do the work if you're unable to do it.
Amen.
Yet God has placed within you. You know what God has given you, beloved? God has given you His name. God has given you His authority and power. God went to the cross and has given you the blood. He's given you the finished work on Calvary. He's given you the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the love of the Father. You have all these things, a list of things that you can tap into for your breakthrough. But you will not give a moment of your time to him. How selfish you are. You got the keys of life, but you don't want to tell your neighbor about life. You don't want to talk about the people you work with, about the good news. But if you want a jackpot, you will scream in the neighborhood. Everyone will hear you. You see? Yeah. So there's a challenge this morning. Yeah. Messages now coming as a challenge to get it right. We love you. That's why we love you to get it right. I think I will go on to talk about next week on fruit. But Jesus wants us to get it right. Don't mock him in front of the devil. Don't give airtime to the devil while we mock Jesus for going to the cross. Instead of we deny him, he said he'll deny us before the Father. It's in the scriptures. Hebrews says some of us are taking rusty nails, we're picking up our hammer, and we're nailing him back to the cross by our attitudes. We're a small number, so we can talk as a family today. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 63, when Jesus began to talk to his disciples like this, yeah, read, put that scripture, 6, verse 66. John 6, 66 says, from that time, how many? Many of the disciples went back and walked with him. No. Why? Because he spoke like I am speaking. Spoke hard. He spoke difficult things. Go to the verse before, he says he spoke difficult things. And then in verse 67, he called to the 12. He said, come here, you 12. Do you want to go also? Go. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But I can't compromise this message. My teachings have been sent by the Father. I only speak what my Father says. This morning, Ivan will also say, I only speak what's in the Word. I'm not going to sugarcoat messages and see you go to a Christless eternity. There's a price paid for your salvation. And I pray to God that you will change today. But Simon Peter answered on behalf of the 12. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You only have the words of eternal life. I want to continue next week, okay? But there's a challenge going out today. Every one of you is a masterpiece. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price, not with silver and gold, your salary and monies that you hold hard and we are so interested as human beings. With the precious blood of Jesus. There's no price to place on that. Took you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you. Given you a name. And that name is upon your forehead. And that name is the name of Father. Stand with me in Jesus' name. Pastor Lionel, come, my dear brother.